Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
So there you are in the checkout aisle of your favorite grocery store, and your mission has been successful. Groceries without one of the kids creating some kind of scene. Well, that is until your six-year-old son sees his favorite candy bar right there in the aisle. He asks if he can have it, but you politely tell him no because you're getting ready to go home and fix lunch with all the new groceries that are in the carts. He asks again, this time with a little more whine in his voice. You give him that parental mom look, and all of a sudden his bottom lip, it begins to quiver, and there you have it. Bam! Meltdown on aisle three. So close, but yet so far away. Well, how do you handle those situations? My guest today, Karis Kimmel-Murray, has some sage advice for those of us that find ourselves in that predicament. She has a brand new book, and it's titled Grace-Based Discipline, How to Be at Your Best When Your Kids Are at Their Worst. In today's podcast, we're going to discuss five things. Number one, how parents are the first responders to your child's crisis. Number two, introducing the mental basket method. Number three, the difference between labeling your child and prophesying over your child. Number four, how to tag your child's behavior. And number five, how to see your child the way God sees them. Today's lesson is titled, How to Separate Your Child from Their Behavior. I wanted to talk about how you do such a great job of putting behaviors in baskets and how to separate your child from the actual behavior of your child. Can you talk about that?
Right. Yeah, in the introduction of my book, we do deal in the beginning part of the book a little bit more with some sort of big picture ideas, some philosophy, but I wanted people to have something very tangible that they could do right away that could help them with their kids without it being prescriptive, because there's no, you know, exact prescription. There's no one method to discipline your kids with grace, but there are things that are tangible that you can do that fit within the context of grace. And so I teach in the introduction of the book a sort of mental exercise or a visualization, if you will, that I call the basket. And it's a way of helping us in the moment to de-escalate our emotions and to sort of separate ourselves from the situation that we find ourselves in. If it's disobedience or if it's defiance, or if our kid is, you know, our three-year-old is having a temper tantrum in the middle of the grocery store checkout line and everybody's looking at us, you know, times when we feel like our kid's behavior is creating a crisis. And not only is it creating a crisis, it's a crisis that I'm feeling threatened by for whatever reason. And so we go into fight or flight mode and freak out.
Is it threatened or is it embarrassment? Is it a little bit of both?
I would consider feeling embarrassed as a form of a threat, or feeling afraid of what's happening. You know, if they're doing something that causes us to feel fear or to feel anger, we're then at that point in the crisis with them. You know, their behavior has set the building on fire, and we're in that building with them.
Oh, that's a good analogy. I like that.
But we are at, you know, one of the roles God puts us in as parents is that we are the first responders then to our kids' behavior crisis, whether we realize that we signed up for that or not as parents. That's part of our role, because we are the only mom or the only dad that God put in our kids' lives.
Sure.
You know, even in families where they are step parents, that you have a very specific role to play. And so there's nobody else out there that's going to do that for your kids. So even if you're in that burning building with them, you have to be able to disconnect from, when I say disconnect from the victimization of what they're doing, that's what we have to do so that we can respond. Otherwise, we just react. Otherwise, we just go into fight or flight. We're not thinking anymore. I mean, quite literally, we go into a place in our brain called the amygdala, which is way back in our brainstem, mm-hmm. and that part of our brain doesn't think, it just reacts. It's there for a very, very important purpose, but it doesn't allow us the ability to be logical and to really put the situation in context so that we can respond. And so what the basket does and what this mental exercise does is it allows us to kind of separate that behavior that our child is doing, mm-hmm. see it almost as an external thing, to externalize that behavior, even if it's something that's coming from them, coming from their heart, and move that out of the way so that we can really see them the way that God sees them. And so I call it the basket because we have this mental basket, and you can do this in the moment. You can do this retroactively as you're thinking, you know, as you're processing things. But I like to imagine the behaviors that my kids are doing or the words that they're saying or whatever it is mm-hmm. that's bothering me as almost like a weight that's hanging off of our kids, almost like like when you go fishing, the weights that you put sure. to pull your lures down, yeah. right? Except they're life size. They're, you know, one is 15 pounds and one's 25 pounds yeah. and one's 30 pounds, and they're hanging on your child and they're so heavy that you can't get past them. Mm-hmm. And so I like to imagine a basket that can hold as much weight as I need it to. It doesn't get heavy, but I imagine reaching out and pulling those things off of my child and putting them in a basket. In my mind, and then moving that basket in my mind into another space, another room, and then coming back and looking at my child without those things on them so that then I can see their eyes. I can remember the moment that I first looked into those eyes and fell in love with my child. And then I can see them more the way that God sees us. And this is a biblical concept. I mean, the concept of atonement is Christ paid for, his sacrifice paid for all of our sin, all the sin that had ever happened, all the sin that was ever going to happen. He pulled those things off of us. Mm-hmm. He pulled those weights off of humanity and he paid for them so that God can see us through the lens of Christ's righteousness now. And it says in God's word that he separates our sin as far as the east is from the west. So he does take our behavior. He takes our sin and he separates it from yeah. our heart. And so when we can do this with our kids and in our relationship with our kids, it just de-escalates everything. It allows us to not take their behavior personally, even if it is. And a lot of the time it absolutely is personal. Mm-hmm. They are doing stuff to us on purpose. We have to pretend that, you know, we have to choose to act as though they're not.
Yeah.
Because otherwise then we react, because that's how we're programmed. We're programmed to react to threats.
If we don't learn something like this, it seems like we would be able to say, well, you know, this child is just a whiner. This, you know, that we mm-hmm. start giving labels
right.
at that point.
Right.
To where, and you keep saying over and over, we got to see the child how the Lord sees the child,
mm-hmm.
and the child is not the behavior.
Right.
The behavior is the behavior itself.
Right.
Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's so important to kind of name and claim the behavior. Mm-hmm. And in the book, I talk about this as tagging behavior. It's a strategy that you can use to both identify what's happening to yourself and verbally out loud to your kid, and buy yourself a little bit of time to think about what you're going to do about it. But in doing that, it's important that if your child says something that you know isn't true, you say, that was a lie. That was untrue. That was a lie. But you don't say, you're a liar. Or if they do something that's unkind, it's a huge difference,
oh,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
They say something unkind or dishonoring to their brother. You don't say, you're mean. You're unkind. You say, that was unkind. That thing that you did
wow.
was specifically unkind.
Because that's a shaming. You're imposing shame on. So, oh, mom just said, I'm a liar.
Right.
And then 10, 20, 30 years go by. We don't know how to process that.
Yeah.
And I'm still a
yeah.
liar.
Yeah. Because really those are more than labels that we speak over our kids. Those are prophecies that we speak over our kids. Those
yeah.
words become prophecies that then can become self-fulfilling, or
yeah.
at least things that they hold onto for a long time and think, man, I'm just a liar.
Yeah. And that's that one of the things that we teach at our ministry is how to not live inside those, I would call that a shame moment, right? To where, oh, my dad said I was stupid. Mm-hmm. And then, well, of course, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. It's because I'm stupid. My dad told me I was stupid. And you're separating those out. Don't lie versus you're a liar is huge.
It's huge.
That's a big deal.
It's a big deal. And it's important. I mean, that can apply to marriage relationship as well, mm-hmm. right? It's important to tag the behavior, to name it and claim it. Call it what it is, but to remember that is just something that person is doing. That's something that your child is doing right now. It does not define who they are.
Right.
It does. I mean, it doesn't define who they are to God, so it shouldn't define who they are to us. So putting those behaviors in the basket and then separating from our kids' hearts just allows us the space, mm-hmm. the emotional space to calm down. You know, I know this sounds like, well, how do you remember to do that in the moment when you are amped up and you are tired? Because, I mean, just we're all just exhausted all the time. Like we sleep for like 15 minutes a night and we feel like somebody's toe was up our nose during those 15 minutes.
Right.
Or, you know, we're just exhausted all the time. Yeah. And so I would encourage you, if you don't remember to do it in the moment, see this as a strategy that you can also use retroactively.
Sure, you can always learn from your mistakes.
Right,
And move forward that way and have that conversation, just like you did with your daughter.
Right exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you're laying in bed at night and you're processing a really hard day where your kids just took you over the edge, it mm-hmm. seems like 1,000 times each.
Right.
Or, maybe you have a quiet moment, you're driving in the car and you're just reeling from something your kid said to you. All of those things, all of those hurts that build up in our heart when that kind of stuff happens, it builds up over time and it starts to define the relationship that we have with our kids. And so this is a great tool to say, oh, I got to remember to do the basket thing, and to just take a mental inventory of the stuff that they've done or said that's hurt you or bothered you or made you crazy, put it in that basket and then move it into another room.
When your child is having a meltdown somewhere in public, and obviously it's embarrassing for the parents. And what can someone who doesn't have children like Amy and I, or another person who doesn't have kids around, what can we do or say to help, if anything? Is it too embarrassing to engage, or does it depend on the situation itself?
I'm sure it depends on the situation, and it depends on, you know, your personality, if you're an outgoing person or not.
Because I'm like, oh, I just kind of like, oh, I wish I could do something. And I start praying for the parent and the child. But it's like, I don't know what to do or try to help.
Well, I think what you just said, praying for the child and the parent, that is huge. That's not nothing.
Okay.
That's a huge thing that you can do. I mean, I've been in the grocery store before, and my kids are older now, so we are not at the, you know, freaking out in the cereal aisle point of our lives anymore.
Thank
you, Jesus.
God.
Right. Yeah. Hallelujah. But I've, you know, been present when something's been happening with another mom. And there have been a couple of moments. I don't do it all the time, because if she's not making eye contact with me, then I tend to not walk up to her, because she just doesn't need one more thing. But there have been a couple of times when a mom has looked up, made eye contact with me, she sees me seeing her. Mm-hmm. And there's been two times that I've said something to the effect of, I see you, warrior mom. I see you. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be okay.
Wow.
You know, or you're a great mom.
Right.
Just something encouraging.
Something encouraging.
You know, even if they're yelling back at their kid, even if that you feel like maybe they're not handling it the way you think they should or the way you think you would in the same situation, they just need encouragement in that moment. I mean,
oh, that's good. Absolutely.
They're like a cornered animal, a cornered, scared animal in that moment in their life. And you know, it's really easy before you have kids of your own, or if you don't have kids, or if you're, you know, you've raised your kids and you're kind of distant from it, to look at it and think, man, I would handle that differently. I would just walk that kid right out of the grocery store, leave my cart in the aisle, and we would go, you know, have a talk, or we'd go out of the car and they'd get a spanking. Mm-hmm. It's easy to think this is what I would do in that situation, but there's just so much context that we don't know.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, behind it. So I think that's a great question. And I, you know, pray for the person. And if the opportunity presents itself for you to just give them a kind look and say, I see you,
mm-hmm.
you know,
that's
I
good.
See you.
That's
You're
really
doing okay.
Good. That is excellent advice, isn't it? Just a little encouragement to help get someone through a tough day with their children. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage each other and build each other up. Psalm 55:22 reads, give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. To learn more about Karis and her new book, Grace-Based Discipline, How to Be at Your Best When Your Kids Are at Their Worst, you can visit familymatters.net. Tomorrow, we're going to continue our conversation with Karis and discuss the difference between discipline and punishment for your children, along with discussing the natural consequences of discipline itself. Well, thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. I'm Dustin Daniels. If you're in Phoenix, I want to invite you to our weekly community group. It's a group that focuses on healthy sexuality and listening to God. We meet every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. at Northern Hills Community Church. We're in Building A, Room 301. You can follow me on Twitter at PurityPastor and email me your questions at DustinDanielsRadio.com. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4:20 that the kingdom of God isn't just a lot of talk. It's living, and living in God's power. And that power is the very name in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I love you and look forward to our time again tomorrow.